answer honestly, it's Resurrection Sunday. Not that that should make any difference, but would you be prepared to change if God spoke with you today? Yes?
Yes.
It's a commitment to change. Okay, good. Now then, by the way, someone wondered why occasionally ministers dress in black. Just as an aside, I'll tell you. It's to take away from the self, so that if I were to wear, let's say, a very fancy suit, an expensive suit with an expensive tie, some people would come into the church and say, "Oh, do you see his suit? You see that tie? You see where he's..." You see, it takes away from the person. Or if I was to be dressed, let's say, really scruffily, you know, in a T-shirt and jeans with rips in them, which is a possibility if I just dressed any old how. My gardening clothes are very comfortable. And, you know, if I were to wear those clothes, people would look and say, "Look how scruffy he is. Doesn't he care that this is God's service?" So you see, you've got two sides. You've got the extremes on both sides, and both should be avoided. And so ministers sometimes dress like this, and that then takes away any... It's their dress is irrelevant. It becomes irrelevant. You see? So it's interesting to know the roots of some of these things. Okay, so this morning then, the children aren't going out, and we know that they start to get a bit fidgety after a while. So let me be succinct in what I talk about. And maybe halfway through we'll get up and shake our arms or something. But what I'm going to preach this morning is Bible truth. And to some it may appear to be hard-hitting. But I preach this morning because I love this church. And I care for what's going on in this church. And I believe that God's call is on this church, okay? And I am charged with responsibility by God for what I preach. I will have to one day give an account, and I believe the Bible. I believe I will have to give an account for what I've taught in the church. As a consequence, I take it very seriously. So if it would be far easier at times just to sort of preach something, I know what people like to hear. And if I just preach what people like to hear, you know, that may make things easier. But let me say this. I believe that God wants to do something with Living Faith Church. I believe he wants to really shape us and mold us and use us as his vehicle at this time. And for that reason, I am compelled to preach what I'm going to preach this morning. So I'm just compelled to preach this. So I want everyone to say, to reaffirm, in fact, what I said earlier. And what I thought was, if I say that's biblical Christianity, I would like to invite you all, if you agree with what I'm saying, to say he's preaching Bible truth. Let's try it now, okay? I say that's biblical Christianity, he's preaching Bible truth. I want that to get in our minds. Because the influence of the world is so much on us that sometimes we don't automatically differentiate between Bible truth and the wrong ways. So by saying those words out loud, we affirm what we're hearing. And what I'm going to preach this morning is starting from the gospel. And I'd like to invite you to turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And we read from verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, There was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples word. And going on then to 16, verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now then, watch this. Watch this. This is going to come, I think, as a shock to some here this morning. But we've made a commitment, haven't we? If the Lord speaks to us, we're going to
change.
We're going to change. We're going to take it on board. We're going to change. So watch this. The Great Commission involves making disciples, bringing them into the church. Disciples are the body of Christ on planet Earth today. Everyone agree? Christ's body was resurrected. This is Resurrection Sunday. Christ's body was resurrected, as we've read. All around the world, the church is celebrating the resurrection of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to say very clearly today, this morning, listen, that his body is alive on earth today. And it is called the Christian church. If you believe in the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ, you must be committed to his body on earth. If you refuse to be committed to the body of Christ, you deny his resurrection. Now think on that. I'll read that out again. Listen. If you believe in the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ, you must be committed to his body here on earth. If you refuse to be committed to the body of Christ, you are denying his resurrection. Does everyone understand what I've just said?
Yes.
It is complete hypocrisy to say that we are moved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and then care nothing for the work of his church. And show, it is complete hypocrisy to say, "I am committed to the resurrection of Jesus Christ," and not be subsequently committed to his church. Total hypocrisy. It's an anathema in terms of the scripture. The scripture knows nothing of that. The scripture is all about commitment. We have seen Jesus' commitment. The Garden of Gethsemane. Before that, the journey to Jerusalem. We've seen his commitment. "If it be possible, take this cup of suffering from me." But he didn't go the way that his feelings were leading. He went the way of the cross. And he calls to us, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourselves, pick up your cross and follow me. Unless you do that, you can't follow me. Unless there is denial, you can't live for me. Denial of what? Denial of self. Am I making sense so far this morning? Please, everyone be engaged. Listen to what I'm saying this morning. Please listen very intently. Tell your ears. Ears, don't fall asleep. Listen to him. Mind, stay alert. Ignore any noise. Ignore the children. Ignore any little thing. Listen to what's being said in this place this morning. It is the gospel of Jesus. It will shape lives and change futures. To follow Jesus is to love Jesus, is to love his body, is to be committed to his church. That's biblical Christianity. At that point, you should have said, if you were really listening intently, he's preaching Bible truth. That's biblical Christianity.
Preaching Bible truth.
Thank you, Stuart. That's biblical Christianity.
Preaching Bible truth.
Okay. Listen, when I first became a Christian, it was explained to me. Now, we're talking the basics, okay? Resurrection Sunday is an opportunity to go through the basics. This is the basics. But I tell you, it's powerful basics. Some people don't get the basics right, and then everything is spoiled. But if you get the basics right, the thing will grow. You know, I had a lot of bulbs that I had ordered for the garden. If you don't plant them in the soil, they won't flourish and grow. They'll just rot in the bag. You could have spent your money. You could have done everything that you needed to get them. But unless they were planted right, put in the soil, in the right position, covered, then they won't grow. So everything needs to be in place. And then in the future, we'll enjoy what happens as a result. But everything's got to be in place. You see, for this church to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish, we must get these things right. This is very important this morning. Very important. So, it was explained to me as a young Christian that I ought to be committed to my church. The church was my family, and I ought to show faithfulness to the church by attending as many of the weekly services as I possibly could. We love our families, don't we? We talk to them, we miss them, and we look forward to spending time with them. But you know, the truth is that in the church, sometimes we don't feel this for people automatically and always. You know, sometimes rather, to be honest, rather than committing to loving the church because it's the right thing to do, we allow our feelings to get in the way. And you know, this one irritates me. I can't believe what that one said. And this one, and that one, and little irritations come. And our own immaturity doesn't allow us to deal with it in the way that we should. And we become impacted by those little things. The little foxes. The little foxes get a hold, and they get at the root. And what happens is, 20 years in the future, that person isn't established in Christ as they should have been. Why? Because they let a little fox get in right at the beginning. 20 years before, the little fox chewed at the roots, and now they haven't grown into maturity. There's no harvest. There's nothing there. I've seen Christians like that languish because a little offense was taken, and then that offense then caused them to stop going where God put them, stop them growing, stop them achieving all that God had called them to achieve. My friends, we don't want that for us, do we? Watch this. When I first attended that church, you know, I was given an illustration. I like the illustration. I was told about hot coals in a fire. You have hot coals together, a lot of hot coals together, like this morning, and, you know, they burn very well. You take one of those coals away, you leave it on its own, quickly it burns out. But together they burn for a long time. And they give off heat and warmth and light. But you take one, isolate it, put it over there, soon enough it's out. It's a good illustration. Francois Fenelon was the court preacher of King Louis XIV of France in the 17th century. One Sunday, when the king and his attendants arrived at the chapel for the regular service, no one else was there but the preacher. King Louis demanded, "What does this mean?" Fenelon replied, "I had published that you would not come to church today in order that your majesty might see who serves God in truth and who flatters the king." Let me read something to you that I found interesting this week. There was a man, he had been an avid sports fan all his life. He was always at the games. But one day he said, "I've had it. I quit this sports business once and for all. You can't get me near one of those places ever again." Want to know why? "Every time I went, they asked me for money. The people with whom I had to sit didn't seem very friendly. The seats were too hard and not at all comfortable. I went to many games, but the coach never came to call on me. The referee made a decision with which I could not agree. I suspected that I was sitting with hypocrites. They came to see their friends and what others were wearing rather than to see the game. Some of the games went into overtime, and I was late getting home. The band played some numbers that I'd never heard before. It seems that the games are scheduled when I want to do other things. I was taken to many games by my parents when I was growing up. I don't want to take my children to any games. I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best." Interesting, isn't it? Isn't that comic? Isn't that funny? Doesn't that resonate with us? Let me share quickly a poem along the similar lines. "Do you want to kill the church? If you want to kill the church, never go to your church or meetings held there. If you do go, be late. It's no one's affair. If the weather is bad, either too hot or snowing, just stay at home and rest, for there'll be others going. But should you attend, be sure and remember to find fault with the work, each official and member. Be sure to hold back on your offerings and tithes. The bills will be paid by the rest of the guys. And never take office if offered the post, but eagerly criticize the work of the host. If not on a committee you're placed, be sore. If you find that you are, don't attend anymore. When asked your opinion on this thing or that, have nothing to say, just turn them down flat. Then after the meeting, shine out like the sun by telling the folks how it should have been done." Oh, I like that line. Let me just repeat that one because... "Then after the meeting, shine out like the sun by telling the folks how it should have been done. Don't do any more than you possibly can. Leave the work for some other woman or man. And when you see faithful ones work themselves quick, then stand up and holler, 'It's run by a click.'" Have you heard those words before? You know where they come from? The enemy, who doesn't want a united church. You know, a kingdom divided isn't what he's called us to. He's called us to be united, to be strong. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the phrase, the body of Christ, is an often used New Testament metaphor for the church. And by church, we mean all those who are truly saved. The church is called, for example, one body in Christ in Romans 12:5. It reads like this: so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We are members of one another. You know, in Genesis chapter 4, Cain kills Abel. God searches and asks. The reply is this: am I my brother's keeper? Well, of course, the answer is yes, we are. And we are our brother's keeper, and we should look out for one another. But let me tell you this. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, every church that does something, every church that fulfills its call, and we have a call on us that needs to be fulfilled, friends. We've got a powerful call of God on us as a church, as individuals, to do a work of God, starting here and then as he leads. But that work, that call is strong. What it needs for that to be fulfilled is this: the unity of the members. So there has to be unity. There has to be a single-mindedness. There has to be the mind of Christ, the Bible describes it. Unity of the body. But let me tell you, the enemy will fight us on it. He'll get people offended so that they don't want to come anymore. He'll get people so that, well, you know, I just, you know, I'm not sure. I don't. Anything at all, any excuse to get people divided, he'll try and do it. Now, the Bible teaches us that we're to be wise to his schemes. We need to be wise to his schemes. And don't allow that to happen. To be genuinely committed to Jesus means that you are genuinely committed to your church. A lack of church attendance, for example, is a sure sign that commitment to Jesus is lacking. You can't love Jesus without loving his body. If you believe in the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ, you must be committed to his body on earth. That commitment means that we spend time in the church. We spend time involved in church activities. If you refuse to be committed to the body of Christ, you are denying the resurrection of Christ in your life. And don't give me all the talk about, oh, well, I can, you know, serve him in other ways. Just hypocritical talk, nonsense. Totally unbiblical. The Bible is clear on it. You know, and people try to fudge it and try and come up with excuses and something. Listen, we have an opportunity here on planet Earth to serve Jesus with our lives.
Amen.
He's called us to serve him. Let's see what he can do with our lives. Let me tell you this, most of us in this room, 50 years from now, this will all be gone. Life here will be over for many people in this room. And people on their deathbeds never say, you know, I wish, if only I had spent more time in work. Or if only I had spent more time on Sundays in work, I could have earned more money. You know, someone on their deathbed isn't phoning up, finding out, please bring me the bank accounts. Let me find out how much is in the account. The things that really matter to us are, what did we do in eternity? What did we do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest truth ever given to mankind? What did I do with it? Did I spend time in the church? Did I really spend time yielding my life? Was I at the prayer meeting midweek? Did I attend church on the Sundays faithfully? Was I really faithful in the cause of God? Was that my life? Or did I give God and Jesus just a little bit? Oh, I expected it all from him. I expected the fullness of his resurrection life. But when it came to my commitment to him, well, you know, I mean, I'm a busy man. No, friends. Jesus makes it clear. He gave everything for us. But if you want to experience his resurrection life, you, he says, must give everything to him.
Amen.
That's Christianity. Not some puffed up nonsense that you'll get in some places that pose as church. I'm talking Bible Christianity, folks. He's preaching Bible truth. The church has various meetings every week, but every week there are the most important meetings. Let me tell you which ones they are. Sunday services and Wednesday prayer meeting. And I'll tell you the truth, the enemy doesn't want you at those meetings. Oh no. There'll be all sorts of excuses why you can't go. There'll be this and that, and you've got to do this and that, and it's very important for you, and no one understands, and I haven't got this and this. Listen, Sundays, Wednesdays, it's a minimum commitment. Well, you travel that far for money, wouldn't you? For your work. Well, honestly, are we people of such little faith? Are we people of such little faith that we'll go somewhere for money, for work, but when it comes to Jesus, well, you know, he understands. Oh, no, friends. That's not the gospel. Jesus should have our number one commitment. Number one commitment. First priority. Did you know that the church meetings are more important than your work? Of course they are. Much more important. Your work. What's your work? This is commitment to the body of Christ. Your work is incidental. This is the body of Christ. This is more important. What? And you think you the faith is so small, you think that you can't, that you, God can't provide? Go and find the money in a fish. That's what I did. You taste and see that the Lord will provide. If you put your faith in him, you see what he can do.
Amen.
He's not a small God. He's not a puny God. God will supply all. You know, those meetings should be a priority for you as a Christian. If they're not, I want to make it clear to you that they should be. That's part of your responsibility to the body of Christ. Is everyone listening this morning?
Yes.
Is everyone comfortable?
Yes.
Ooh, that's what I like to hear. Is anyone preparing to change?
Yes.
Oh, my prayers have been answered. Personally, I'll tell you the truth, I would make every effort to put these important church meetings before everything else in my life. I did that when I was working in the secular world. It cost me a lot of money. A lot of money. I've been speaking to a Christian businessman. It's costing him a small fortune to keep his commitment to Sundays. It's costing him a small fortune. I tell you what, it cost him a small fortune in money. It cost me a lot of money. But it would have cost me immeasurably more if I didn't prioritize my church commitments. I have found that when I put God first, when I put Jesus first, and I look back at my life, what I found is that, you know, initially it cost a little bit. But you know what? You can't outgive God. In the end, what I found God has done is beyond what I could think or imagine. Because he leads us in paths that are right. And he leads us according to his will. He has blessed our lives. He's wonderful. And let me tell you something. He loves you so much. You're so precious to him. He loves you dearly. But that love isn't a soft, soppy love. I love my children. But it's not a soft, soppy love. If they're going to do something wrong, I'm going to correct them. Because I want the best for them. And then when they're learning and they're on the right track, well, there's rewards. As your pastor, you know, I will give an account for what I've taught you. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. I have to give an account. You see, it's not my gospel. It's not my Bible. Who am I? I'm just someone who was saved by Jesus, who's following Jesus, and who has been commissioned to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. And not to compromise. I'll give an account for what I taught. I must preach the truth. You know, it grieves me when people miss church services. I've seen a person in God's will who's, you know, I've never seen someone in God's will who's not regularly in church services and a committed attendee of those services. If someone is in God's will, what I've noticed is that they are committed to the regular services of the church. If they're not, they won't be committed. But when we are committed, what happens is that God then starts to move in and through our lives. A very powerful thing happens. Change takes place. I've seen people, and the reason why I grieve is I know where it ends up. I've seen people with a casual approach to church, never bothering coming to prayer meetings, very casual approach. And 10 years down the line, I've seen their hopes and dreams in God just fade. And then they're nowhere. But I remember when they were first converted. I remember when they first found faith. They were full of joy, full of hope, telling everyone about Jesus. And they're excited about the gospel. And they were alive with God. And then 10 years down the line, just now they can't be bothered. And they're just like a shadow of what they were before. And you know, it's so basic. It's so simple. I mean, we're talking now about the ABC of the Christian faith. Attending church services. But folks, what happens is this. When we attend, we encourage one another. We build each other up in our most holy faith. So I see someone. I say, oh, it's nice to see you, brother. That's encouraging to see him. He says a little something to me. I say, oh, thank you very much. That's encouraging. He's built me up. Now, if I don't see him, where is he? It was important to me, this service. Well, where's he? Wasn't it important to him? You see? And the enemy wants to stop people coming. He doesn't like it when people come to prayer. How many people know? Now, let's have a shower of hands. How many people know that the devil, the enemy, doesn't want people in prayer meetings? Is this a revelation to anyone, or are we all convinced that that's the truth? Okay, everyone's convinced. Now then, who's going to comply with the devil's desires? That's the way to look at it, folks. Oh, we'll drive for work. Ah, but prayer meeting, well, there'll be others there. That's Bible Christianity. He's preaching Bible truth. That's Bible Christianity.
He's preaching Bible truth.
The Bible tells us we need to attend church so we can worship God with other believers and be taught His word for our spiritual growth. You know, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Acts 2:42. I've heard it said that some people don't go to church, but they have a church at home instead. Nonsense. Nonsense. You can't have church at home. What? I thought the early church met in homes. Yes, because they didn't have public buildings. The church, the word for church is ecclesia. And ecclesia means, in the original, the called out ones, a gathering of people. It's a gathering of people. When the early church met in homes, there'd be 100 people there. It was a gathering of people. It wasn't 5 or 6 people with someone fumbling through the Bible unwittingly, not understanding or discerning the truth. It was a called out man. Someone who's called to teach the Holy Scripture with power. Miracle power flowing. That's the gospel truth, folks. We're in an age of half-wits. Don't associate with them. They're doing the devil's business. Be committed to your church. It's the ABC of the Christian faith, folks. Church attendance, according to the Bible, is not a good suggestion. It's not just a good suggestion. It's God's will for believers. Hebrews 10:25 says this. We should not be giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. We live in wicked days. We can see possibly the day approaching. And so therefore, if they had to meet together because they could see that day approaching, we ought to meet together because we see the day approaching. Encouraging ourselves with prayer, building one another up in this thing that Jesus created through His resurrection, His body. Remember, the church is His body. You've been called to be part of His body, the church. And we need encouragement that church attendance affords as we approach the end times. Listen, folks, when a person trusts Jesus Christ for salvation, he or she is made a member of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You see, some people have a low opinion of themselves. They think, no one will miss me. If I'm not there, no one will miss me. No one will bother. No one will know. You've got a low opinion of yourself. God has a high opinion of you. You're not just insignificant. You're not an insignificant person. Not at all. You're a highly significant individual. You were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a member of His body. And if you're a member of His body, I want to tell you today, listen, you have the gifts and call on your life. There's things that you can do that I can't do. God will speak to you in a way that He's not speaking to me. You'll have a word for someone here. I haven't even thought of it. And then that way, what happens is the body is knit together. It's joined together. It works together. I've never seen my body separated. My body works together. My hand isn't just going off and doing any old thing. I knew exactly what that hand was doing when I was doing that. My brain is in charge of my hand. The body is working together. Well, listen, we're not to be a deformed body. The body, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. And today is Resurrection Sunday. We're celebrating the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. We are that body. And that body isn't a deformed body. It needs the parts, though, to submit to his will. It needs those parts. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We are together in this. And together we work for his kingdom purposes. We build each other up in our most holy faith. We work together. We encourage one another. We support one another. And there's gifts in you. And maybe you've got a low self-opinion, you know. Listen, do away with that low self-opinion. Stop it. You shouldn't have a low self-opinion. You are created in God's image. God has put treasures inside of you. You are of high value. The Bible says that you are a co-heir with Christ. The Bible says that the riches of Christ are yours. You're a co-heir with Christ. You are now a priest. And in the royal family, have high expectations of yourself. You know what happens when we enter into God's plan for the church and we start attending church regularly, faithfully, knowing that this is the call of God for our lives. He starts to move on us. He says, okay, you're there at the prayer meeting. Let's pretend there's not many people there, let's say. There's a few people there. Now, your feelings perhaps won't be excited. Attending the prayer meeting isn't about getting your feelings excited. It's about faithfulness. And it's about an act of faith. Yielding my will to an act of faith that I would be what he's called me to be. I've got to say that sometimes the prayer meetings have been beautiful. And there's been plenty of people there. And those prayer meetings are places where people are calling out to God. And it's a joy. I don't want people to miss out. I want you and your family to be all that you can be. We come to the end of this service. I could preach this message for hours because the scriptures are rich with commentary on this. I suggest you study. Study to show yourselves approved. A workman rightly dividing the word. As we come to a close, though, let's just stand together. I'm going to read out a portion of scripture. I want us to reflect on it. And I want us to reflect on it here. Because I want a response. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, that body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. Notice, just as He pleased. God has commissioned His church, folks. Each one of you, if you've trusted as Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are part of His body. And you have a responsibility to be a part, an active part in that body. Otherwise, you cause the body to be deformed. That's not God's will. No. You have to have a commitment. The resurrection demands it. So I ask you now as we close to say this. I may have not understood this up to this date, but Father God, I want to be committed to the services of this church. I want to fulfill my position in the body, and I will do that as an act of my discipleship. I've been called to be a disciple. I'll exercise discipline and be a disciple. And if it means much more, let there be much more. But at the minimum, I will commit to the services of my church. I hope this has made sense to you this morning. Let's close our eyes then and respond. I surrender all to Thee. Feel free to come up and respond to Him this morning. Father God, we thank You that people are responding to You this morning. They're responding to You, Lord, as an act of their will, as an act of faith. Hallelujah. need a physical healing of some sort or another, I want you to respond. And whenever your eye closed, no one looking around, but I want you to respond now by putting up your hand. If you need a physical healing of one sort or another, I want you to respond by putting up your hands now so that I can see. I see hands being raised. I see hands being raised. Now then, we're going to pray as the body of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank and praise you this Resurrection Sunday. And in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, now we minister that, Father God, those hands that are raised, each one receive your healing in Jesus' mighty name. Receive your healing in Jesus' mighty name now. Receive your healing in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Bible truth, take it on board, and not only that, share it with others. Be clear, be strong, and know that you're doing it in God's will. That's His will. It's revealed in His word. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Surrender. To be loved. Such a